And we're back to Food News and Juice Radio. We're at the Crappers and Food Fest with Kentucky Ale and Alt Tech, and it's going on now. Tickets at the door, $35. Jeremy, our third wheel here.
Uh-oh, we must have lost him in one of the kegs, you think?
We're surrounded by beer. He goes to get coffee.
Yeah, really? Seriously?
He's doing it wrong. But we have Zach on from Victory Brewing, and you guys are in Pennsylvania?
Yes, sir.
And one of your beers is one of his favorites, Golden Monkey.
The Golden Monkey, it's our Belgian
Maybe he left people. Because you don't have it here today, and he's just ticked off.
Actually, I'm pretty sure he left me a nasty note and left.
So now you guys are from Pennsylvania, because there literally are people from all over the country. But we were talking about this. It's a small town, smaller place. Some of the best craft brews, they don't come from New York and L.A. and Chicago. They come from craft brewers in small cities like Lexington and, you know, in Pennsylvania.
It's all going very small and local.
Yeah, and that's our owners, our two owners. They were high school buddies, and
happens so often.
Started in their dining room, and that's where
they kind of a takeoff on the garage. You know,
20 years later, exactly. Yes, a garage.
This is like that. I think the organic. This is why I think craft brewing is getting so big, because of the organic nature of it. I mean, people make good beer in their garage.
Absolutely,
and they go, I got to have one of these.
And it's a booming industry, and it's going, it's going with this local stuff, too, Everything's going local, and local ingredients, and all of that kind of thing. So, what do you think's your claim to fame at Victory?
Well, honestly, it's the brewers. We use quality ingredients, whole flower hops from Germany, the West Coast. Our owner flies out there and hand picks them himself. So all our quality ingredients are controlled, and I think, and the passion behind it too, just really, really brings.
How'd you get involved?
It's a friend of a friend. I know that's the worst story, but and if I tried to explain it, people will get bored. But a friend of a friend, it kind of fell in my lap, and
you're
I've
like,
had a blast.
You
were
5 years old. You didn't say, I want to grow up and be a.
Who doesn't, though? Who doesn't, want to work in the beer industry?
Exactly.
Like, maybe at six, you don't appreciate it yet.
Yeah, right.
But when you're 20, you'll...
Yeah.
But you do get
it's
to work...
It's not like a real job.
Yeah, you're right.
I talk to my buddies, and I'm friends with a lot of guys here, Kentucky Ale and Alt Tech, that put this on every year, and their friends are like... You guys are the new rock star. You work in the beer industry, right? Is there a lot of jealousy among your peer group?
Well, you know what? It's so funny. People are, at parties, if you walk in and you're like, oh, I'm an accountant, or, oh, I'm, something in corporate, everyone's like, okay. And, you move on from there.
Sure.
You say, I'm in the beer industry. Man, do people start that you can't get away from some people after you talk about that.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Being in radio, people just assume I have concert tickets on me at all times for every show.
I can understand that.
Right.
You don't have any? That's the only reason I'm doing this interview.
Exactly. So for
do
people just assume you travel with kegs of beer?
A free T-shirt. Yeah, man, you got a T-shirt in there. I was like, I don't have a T-shirt in my car. If I did, I would give it to you.
I have to pay for this beer myself, guys. Like, you don't get just free beer all the time, right?
Exactly.
What's the future of this business? I mean, it's trying to, it's growing. Does it have a ceiling? I mean, everywhere.
You mentioned something about local earlier, which is awesome. A lot of people are very local, hyper-local, and bring those kind of smaller players into the forefront. But as far as you're just going to see new flavors and new ways to brew, and I think it's just going to be
explosive.
Yeah.
Is there anything you guys are doing? I know we were talking earlier about this. Every brewery has like a trick up their sleeve, and they have like one thing they're working on. Is there anything experimental or anything that's yours, just yours, that you're really proud of?
I would go back to our whole flower hops. I mean, the way we brew with the whole flower hops is something that, you don't find in a brewery our size. And I think that's just something really special with us.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys, the monkey, the three monkeys?
Golden Monkey.
Golden monkey. Sorry, I don't know why I said three monkeys.
Yeah. Well, it's a Belgian triple, so that's where you got that.
Oh, welcome back, Jeremy. You were mad because you didn't have Golden Monkey.
No, that's all right. I'm just the coffee boy, right?
We are surrounded by beer, and you're getting coffee. What are you doing, sir?
It's called stamina. I gotta last the entire time, right?
It's
Talk
a marathon,
to this man about Golden Monkey.
Oh, that is the best beer I've ever had.
Well, thank you.
I love it.
It's delicious.
What do you guys pouring today that you want to tell everybody about before we gotta take a break?
Absolutely. We have our Cage Radler, which is a German style Radler, our take on a Radler. Nice lemon notes in that. Mm-hmm. Beautiful, easy drinking beer. And we also have our Summer Love, our summer seasonal Golden Ale, and then our Frisch Weiss. Which is our special pour. And I can't talk too intelligently about that just yet. So
okay.
Say it again, though. It sounds very German.
Frisch Weiss.
It sounds like something a German husband screams at a German wife angrily.
She's nice! She's nice!
I got nothing on that. That's a perfect description of what that sounds like. Do you guys actually use golden monkeys in the beer? Because it tastes like it.
Well, we do have secrets we have to keep.
By the way, Rattlers are one of my... If you are a beginning beer drinker, a Rattler is a great way to get into it. Because generally a little lower alcohol, a little more user-friendly, a little more entry level.
Exactly.
Because historically...
Refreshing. I mean, easy to drink.
The history of a Rattler is...
What is the history?
They were used by... Well, so bicyclists in Germany would go on these long bike rides, and they would stop at bars, and they couldn't get drunk, so they'd mix half beer and half, like, lemon soda together. Yep. And that's what a Rattler is. Now, it's not made the same way anymore. It's not... But generally, it's made of that style.
Ours is still actually made exactly like
it
that.
Is.
We paired up with a natural lemon soda company in Philadelphia, and we cut ours with lemon and...
No one does it anymore.
Yeah,
people just brew a lower alcohol beer and pour some lemon juice in it.
What are you talking up watered down beer for, man?
Well, so the bikers could keep going, though.
Yeah, because you can't get drunk and bike. But
right. Okay.
So, and I love a Rattler. In the summer, nothing better than a Rattler on the back deck.
Ours is very, very true to form.
Are you pouring yet?
I'm sorry?
Are you pouring yet?
I mean, if you've got coaster tickets, I'll start pouring.
All right, hang on. We got to take a break. We're back in a moment. Food News and Chews Radio.
Today on Kentucky Ale Radio, how to tell if Kentucky Ale is right for you.
If you've ever spoken openly of your love for cornhole, this is your beer. If you've ever had to correct someone looking for Louisville, this is your beer. If you know more than one person with more than one first name, this is your beer. If you know what's in Burgoo, this is your beer. If you know that saying, bless your heart, is a polite way of feeling sorry for someone, this is your beer. And if you've never had a Kentucky ale, well, bless your heart.
Your state, your beer. For the real taste of a real Kentucky beer, make it a Kentucky ale. The original craft brew of the bluegrass.
Kentucky Ale. Lexington Brewing Company in Lexington, KY. Real Kentuckians drink responsibly.
Chef Jeremy Ashby here with Dan Adams talking about CUR Superstore for all your culinary needs, including clothing for that professional look your chef and catering staff needs. Seaworth has red, black, and white chef coats with standard and twill buttons, and the cool part is they have all sizes in stock. Chef hats and beanies plus striped and black chef pants. Come to CUR Superstore for all your colored apron needs plus black cocktail and bistro aprons. The great thing about CUR Superstore is you can buy one each and not a big case or package or something. You're never going to use. So come visit us at our 15,000 square foot superstore showroom, serving your culinary needs for over 60 years right here in Lexington. Located at 1403 Versailles Road, or visit us at seawarsuperstore.com.
Food News and Chews here for Brasabana Restaurant, featuring Cuban cuisine with a Caribbean flair. Chef Miguel Rivas, hailing from the Dominican Republic, will provide you with an exceptional and unique cuisine. Come try plantain chips to start. Followed by a Brasabana signature dish, the award-winning Cuban sandwich, yummy. And don't forget Brasabucks, $1 for every $10 you spend, and double Brasabucks on Mondays. Come see us at 841 Lane Allen or at Brasabana.com or Facebook for updates and information.
And we are back. It's Food News and Chews Radio, brought to you by the Seaworth Superstore, your commercial culinary connection. We're at the Craft Brews and Food Fest in the Convention Center. Tickets on sale right now, by the way, only $35. And we're trying to talk to as many brewers as we can today.
And we've had some great ones.
Really great ones, and a lot of I've never had. I've never had Left Hand Brewing.
Here comes Kenny.
Left Hand Brewing from Colorado. Kenny is with us from Left Hand.
How did you get that name?
So actually, Left Hand started back in 1993 in a town called Niwot. And Niwot is named after an Indian chief of an Indian tribe.
In Colorado?
Yeah, in Colorado, the Arapaho Indian tribe. And Niwot actually translates into Left Hand. And so that's kind of how we started. And then, of course, once somebody put a hand on it, it kind of stuck ever since. So.
Oh, there you go.
Pretty cool little history there.
Now, you guys are from right outside Boulder.
I love Boulder.
It seems like there are certain pockets of really good craft beer in the country. In Colorado, seems to be one of those really good, like,
must
craft
be
areas.
Water.
Is there a reason for that, you think?
Great water. I mean, in all honesty, you know, you get all the water from the Rocky Mountains. It's definitely a good water source. And we've been at it a lot longer. I mean, the people that are there, like Oscar Blues, us, Avery, have definitely been doing it a lot longer than some other people. But there are, you know, over 300 breweries now in Colorado. And, I mean, some are definitely still improving on the quality, but we've definitely lined it out.
Here's an interesting thing, Kenny, that you brought up and some of the other guests have. This movement really started long ago. I mean, 1983 is a long time ago.
Yeah,
but it was so small, and now it's just really taken off. I wonder what happened. It must have been the local movement.
Yeah.
The whole local thing.
Yeah, I mean, it all started, obviously, whenever homebrewing became legalized back in the 80s. And then from there, you know, you actually had a lot of brewers start kind of in the early 90s. And then in the late 90s, there actually was already one, you know, one bubble.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of breweries did close. And now we're kind of seeing that again.
Oh.
There's so many breweries out there. The supply is up there. A lot more people are drinking craft beer, though.
I think that's
Due to people
the
like
consumers
Sam Adams
awakened,
and,
yeah.
You know, some of the people that started long, long ago.
It's related, Jeremy, as you pointed out, to your business being in the business of chefing.
Everybody, I mean, everybody wants to get into the artisan and craftsman. I mean, just everybody for quality. I mean, it's just so much more out there to taste than your. Well, I mean, not that the major breweries don't do a good job, but there's a lot of good food out there. There's a lot of good beer out there.
But I think also part of it is the younger people who are drinking craft beer now are, you know, in their 20s and 30s, and, you know, really the first, I don't say the first generation, but we're not drinking our daddy's beer. We wanted to put our stamp on something.
Yeah.
Say, you can have all that stuff. We want the good stuff. And I think that's what you're finding is people would rather drink quality over quantity now.
Absolutely, yeah. And that's something that, I mean, you're really seeing the larger guys where they stand out is absolutely the quality of the beer. People don't see, you know, we do nitro beers basically as kind of what our special little signature is. And
which kind is that?
Our milk stout nitro, and then nitro basically is just a blend of nitrogen and with the CO2, so it makes the beer super smooth and creamy. And there's a lot of people trying that. Yeah. It's kind of a new thing. Guinness did it for a long time.
They did it in the can, right?
And Guinness did it in cans as well, which has a widget in it. We're actually the first craft brewery in the U.S. to do it out of a bottle. So there's
the bubbles,
no widget in there.
Is it like a almost with champagne where the bubbles are a little bit smaller and they're smoother and the mouth feels better?
And they're like charged at the bottom too, right? Or they all go to the top?
No, 100% on that. I feel like it's just something people say. But basically, you know, nitrogen doesn't like to be soluble in liquid. And so if you have a can that has a widget in the bottom, and so as soon as you open the can, that widget spins around, makes the nitrogen go back into the beer. We do it in the bottle through what's called a hard pour, where you literally take the beer, completely flip it upside down, and you're pouring it into a glass. And so that agitates enough that it kind of mixes in with the beer.
And it's creamy. It gives a creamier mouthfeel.
It's kind of, it's kind of like an emulsification. So like, if you have like, a fat molecule or, you know, oil, which nitrogen not, you know, and oil and water don't mix, right? So the water molecules spin around the fat molecule and becomes like a congruent kind of emulsion.
So it's like you're drinking a really good vinaigrette with alcohol.
Yeah, Jeremy, that was what I was going to say, too.
Yeah, your beer, all your CO2 beer has, you know, kind of that soda poppy flavor, whereas the nitrogen kind of makes it smooth, creamy, and more mellow. And then it does it, that's kind of why the faucet's different on, like, a Guinness or our nitro beers, is that you kind of have the same effect where it has to split apart to come back together.
And tell everyone, what are you pouring today? Because everyone's coming down here. By the way, tickets on sale, $35 at the door. Great price for 20 samples. What are you guys pouring today?
We're pouring our milk stout nitro, which is the number one craft stout in the U.S. We're pouring our
don't bear the lead on that. That's good. Don't bear the lead.
Yeah, and then also our nitro coffee porter, which is nice roasty flavors and also coffee, and then good juju, which is a pale ale brewed with ginger. So nice.
When
light,
you say creamy, what do you mean? Does it look different from other beers?
I mean, it's. Since I say milk stout and then creamy, it kind of confuses people, but it's just creamy as kind of a mouthfeel.
Oh, okay.
But there's no milk in our beer, so they're not
more silky.
Spoil.
It's more of a silky thing, right?
It still looks nice. Like beer, though. Yeah.
Well, it coats the tongue.
Kenny, thank you for coming by.
Yeah.
Left Hand Brewing.
Thank you, Kenny.
And they're one of the many breweries you can try today. 53 breweries, over 200 beers. We are at Craft Brewers and Food Fest, and I'm being here until Lyft takes me home later tonight. So, all right, back in a moment. Food News and Chews Radio, wrapping it up next.
Kenny. Food News and Chews here for Brasabana Restaurant, featuring Cuban cuisine with a Caribbean flair. Chef Miguel Rivas, hailing from the Dominican Republic, will provide you with an exceptional and unique cuisine. Come try plantain chips to start. Followed by a Brasabana signature dish, the award-winning Cuban sandwich, Yummy, And don't forget Brassabucks, $1 for every $10 you spend, and double Brassabucks on Mondays. Come see us at 841 Lane Allen or at brassabana.com or Facebook for updates and information.
Chef Jeremy Ashby here with Dan Adams talking about CUR Superstore for all your culinary needs, including clothing for that professional look your chef and catering staff needs. Seaworth has red, black, and white chef coats with standard and twill buttons, and the cool part is they have all sizes in stock. Chef hats and beanies plus striped and black chef pants. Come to CUR Superstore for all your colored apron needs plus black cocktail and bistro aprons. The great thing about CUR Superstore is you can buy one each and not a big case or package or something you're never going to use. So come visit us at our 15,000 square foot superstore showroom, serving your culinary needs for over 60 years right here in Lexington. Located at 1403 Versailles Road, or visit us at seawarsuperstore.com.
And we're back to Food News and Choose Radio at the Craft Brewers and Food Fest. We are enjoying the company of many, many brewers today and many, many beer companies. And some that aren't even making beer. Aaron is from Blake's Hard Cider. Thank you for
coming. Hello, Aaron. Thanks for having me on here.
Tell us about cider and fitting into a brewery thing and
so
beer.
Cider fitting into the brewery, it's definitely a top 10 major category of the beer world. It's especially attractive for those who need gluten free
right.
sensitivity.
Oh, okay.
We do stand there. It's just a different flavor. So for most beer drinkers, they kind of steer away. Well, they're afraid.
Well,
of
see,
beer.
I love it. I'm a beer
Cider's
drinker.
Cider's been hot for like 3 years. I mean, it's big
time.
How
do you make it as it's different from beer?
So how we make it, it's very different from other cider companies. We are 100% natural, no juice from concentrate, no additives, no anything. So anything that goes into our cider is from our farm.
It really is just cider,
it's
right?
It's just cider. So it's old school style. If you watch old videos, Johnny Appleseed style, where they hand press apples.
Apple cider
exactly
is what
how
I think.
It's made.
Oh,
that's
so
awesome.
Is it made out of apples?
Now, there's one here that you brought called Aurora. I'm really, really, I'm curious. It's almost like a culinary beer.
Yeah.
I mean, flavors of peach, rosemary, and lemon peel. That sounds like the best thing ever on a hot day.
Yeah.
Definitely the best thing ever on a hot day. So when you crack open an Aurora, the first thing you're going to take in is that rosemary. Next, you're going to have the peach as the real body. It's got a nice, creamy consistency, a lot less tart than traditional ciders.
Uh-huh.
And you're going to finish with the acidic lemon peel as, you know, kind of the end of it.
So now, I love cider. I do cross the genres. My wife got me into ciders, and I got her into beer, which worked out really nice. But some of the European ciders, much drier.
Much more dry. So I'm actually a big fan of an English-style dry.
I am, too. I like them dry, almost kind of puckery and
That's
bitter.
That's exactly how I love my cider.
But in America, we do like them a little more sweet.
Like
sweet
me,
cider.
You know. I definitely
yeah,
want
a little
sugary. More sweet and sugary, yeah.
And where do yours fall in?
So I would say we are naturally very tart, and I would say less sweet, just because we are
like
so
that.
Natural. There's the concentrate
like
is what really adds a lot of sweetness to most ciders. So my sweet cider is going to remain a little more dry than traditional large
name like a health
ciders.
Drink.
Yeat
See, I would love to see the vat that this is
right?
made in, because I actually just see this really cool, you know, bubbling liquid with peaches like peach halves and lemon peels in
and
there,
apples,
and like rosemary sprays. It's like a big old pot of good stock or something.
Yeah,
soup.
Yeah.
Well, what's crazy is it's kind of like the process is a lot like making tea. I mean, you start out with a 5-gallon vat, and you kind of just play with the apples, and you find the flavor that you like, and then you build on that.
What kind of apples do you do? I mean, is it a special kind of apple or just...
We have 45 different varieties of apples that we grow in our orchard.
Really? Oh, excuse me? There's 45 different kinds of apples in there? How do you ever get the recipe the same? And it's probably different batch to batch, right?
That's a very good question.
It's batch to batch, but I think it's like that with a lot of craft, you know, craft companies. It is batch to batch. You'll get some that...
Well, no, I was going to ask you, because
vintage is good.
Well, some apples are just naturally
so
sweeter.
Good.
Like, some years the apples are sweeter than so do you have to do anything, or that's just the way it is?
That's just the way it is.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. That's how it should be.
That's how it is.
I love it.
And what do you guys make? How many varieties of these cider are you
making? So we have four main varieties. We have a Beard Bender, which is an English-style dry, Flannel Mouth, which is our smooth, sweet cider, El Chavo, which is a mango habanero, and Wake Fire, which is Michigan cherries and orange peel.
And what's this one?
Chavo.
This is seasonal.
That's our summer seasonal.
Okay.
So we also just came out with an El Chavo, which is we aged the Chavo in tequila barrels for 6 months. It finished at 9%.
Oh, wow.
It's phenomenal. Definitely knock you off your feet.
How do you
Okay, listeners
this?
Out there, over Blake's
for over ice.
Hard cider.
Over ice? Or just chill it?
It's cider, so it's fine over ice.
To which we're going to have to get these lined up at the restaurant and do a beer dinner. Because these are like just culinary beers. This is
they absolutely
all these
are.
Things.
And when you get into rosemary and other flavors.
Oh, yeah.
What do you guys, by the way, before we got to take a break, what are you guys pouring today?
Today we're pouring Flannel Mouth and El Chavo. And at 6 p.m. we crack open Aurora. So.
Very nice.
All right.
That's awesome.
I cannot wait to try the Flannel Mouth.
Okay.
I'm
thank
very
you very
tired.
Much.
Thank you so
folks,
much.
Enjoy your day.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Oh, and here's an apron.
Terrific. Thank you so much. We're going to come back in a second and wrap it up. We are at the Craft Brews and Food Fest with Altec at the Convention Center in downtown Lexington. This is Food News and Chews Radio.
Chef Jeremy Ashby here with Dan Adams talking about CUR Superstore for all your culinary needs, including clothing for that professional look your chef and catering staff needs. Seaworth has red, black, and white chef coats with standard and twill buttons, and the cool part is they have all sizes in stock. Chef hats and beanies plus striped and black chef pants. Come to CUR Superstore for all your colored apron needs plus black cocktail and bistro aprons. The great thing about CUR Superstore is you can buy one each and not a big case or package or something you're never going to use. So come visit us at our 15,000 square foot superstore showroom, serving your culinary needs for over 60 years right here in Lexington. Located at 1403 Versailles Road, or visit us at seawarsuperstore.com.
And we're back. It's Food News and Chews Radio. This is our last segment here.
We got the local guys.
Yeah. Ethereal Brewing is doing some amazing stuff in Lexington. Ethereal Brewing. And
I've heard of this. This is really a cup and comer.
Andrew Bishop is with Ethereal. You guys
so
are
have
at
you
the,
been hanging out with Twitch, though, right here?
A little bit too much.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. We've seen each other
it's
a lot this week.
You know.
You guys are at the Pepper Distillery campus, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome.
Tell us about Ethereal, because you guys are really one of the most exciting breweries in town.
Well, I appreciate it. Really what we're trying to do is we're trying to have some fun with beer. We like to do a lot of very traditional things, but at the same time, we also like to kind of mess around and get outside of the norm.
What are you guys working on now? Because my favorite beer they have right now is called the Baba Yaga.
Baba Yaga?
Explain what that is, everybody.
All right, so we have a Russian Imperial Stout that's about 13.1%, and with it being Russian, we decided we wanted a big, strong Russian name for it. So Baba Yaga is actually a witch in Russian folklore.
Oh, really? Awesome.
And that beer will hurt
you. That. I mean,
yeah, of course.
Everybody knows that.
And
Baba Yaga.
Baba Yaga will hurt you.
Well, it's a witch.
But they do two versions. You guys do a Baba Yaga in bourbon barrels, right?
Yeah, we actually have the bourbon barrel version with us that's getting tapped at 3 o'clock today.
Oh, okay.
Oh, very
and then
cool.
We've released a rum barrel version for Craft Beer Week. We released it on Wednesday, and we actually are down to our last keg of it. It is still on draft, but it's down to the last little bit.
You're really booming down there in that Manchester area, aren't you?
It's been an amazing spot, and you know, having Goodfellas popping in next to us. And
yeah, beer and pizza goes together.
It's going to be hard to leave that place once you park.
Oh, man.
Oh.
By the way, so the tapping today is at 3, so make sure you come down here and get it, because the good thing about the craft beer and the movement is some of this stuff, you're only going to have one time. You have it, and it might not ever exist again, right?
There's a lot of one-off stuff where, you know, we kind of play around with something.
It's like
and
a piece of art, yeah.
As much as we may want to reproduce it. There's a lot of stuff that may only come around once.
All
yeah.
Right.
So you got to get it.
Brad, Andrew rather, Bishop. I just call him Bishop because we're drinking
buddies.
Yeah,
we got Brad coming on next.
Yeah, Brad's coming next.
Baba Yaga there.
Bishop.
Yeah, Baba Yaga.
Thank you
I
for coming
that.
In, brother. It's all good
right.
to see you. I will see you later tonight.
Keep
I might not
good
remember it,
there.
But I will see you later tonight.
Good to see you.
Right there, by the way, at
3
o'clock.
You know.
Come over here and try the tapping because you want to try that. Now,
okay,
Brad's
Brad
coming
Nichols.
In next. Yeah. Brad Nichols is from Dogfish Head
nice.
Craft Brewery. And again, that's a pretty big one. You guys
Dogfish
are in.
Dogfish is located in Milton, Delaware. We are pretty big. We're
Milton,
one of the top
Delaware.
20 craft breweries in the nation and top 20 production overall in the nation.
And
top
what,
20,
you,
wow.
what are you guys tapping here today? What are we drinking from Dogfish Head today?
So today on tap, start the festival, we have Namaste, which is a lemongrass wheat beer. It uses whole orange flesh that is delicious, 5% summer quencher. And then we have on tap also 90 Minute IPA, which was the first original big bad boy IPA of the East Coast, 9% alcohol, brewed for 90 minutes with hops in the boil, and has 90 different hop varieties in the beer.
No,
he's got good adjectives, man. He makes me want to drink beer.
Well, just being here should make you want to drink beer.
Yeah, that too.
There's a lot of good company and a lot of good brews here today.
Were you guys one of the first big IPAs, though?
Yeah.
Absolutely. When you always hear people talk about styles of West Coast IPA and Brighton, citrus IPAs, we like our malts as well. And really, Dogfish is kind of a definition of an East Coast IPA.
Hey, music beers.
Yeah, We do a lot with with a music series. We've done a beer tribute to Miles Davis called Bitches Brew. It's a delicious stout. We've done a tribute to the American American Beauty to the Grateful Dead. We did a tribute to Faithful Ale to Pearl Jam. But this winter we have a new seasonal coming out called Beer for Breakfast that's brewed with Delaware Scrapple.
Oh.
So much in our region that might be like Cincinnati Ghetto.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So that's going to be a lot of fun. But that's a tribute to the Replacements.
Music beers.
That's where we find that name.
That's awesome.
So you guys are like putting like literally sausage scrapple kind of like in the beer? Alright, see, I want to talk to you guys because we have these awesome country hams. And I always felt like a country ham infused beer would be just so
ham
awesome.
Ham and beer just seems like it would go together.
Yeah.
So you're speaking my language and my roots, and I'm 100% on board.
Alright, Brad.
Alright, I'm getting a card from you. We're going to do this.
We'll do this off the air because sadly, we got to wrap up the show, and not sadly, it's time to drink. We are at the Craft Brewers and Food Fest. It goes on till 8. Tickets on sale right now. Get them at the door at Convention Center.
You're going to come now because Twitch will last till about 12:30.
You're giving me a lot of credit, sir.
I'm sorry.
You come down here and join us and have a beer. And also, remember, drink local today. Drink craft today. And do it actually every day. It's the right way to go. Back in, 1 week. We'll see you here.
All right.
On 590 WVOK. We'll see you in 1 week for Food, News, and Chews Radio. Thanks for listening.